And in this chapter, we read about the Lord healing 10 lepers. I've heard that leprosy has been, portrayed as symbolic of the sin nature. And, I think it's important to realize what sin is. I think we all have different ideas, and we tend to think of things that are just probably our greatest weaknesses, things that offend God. But all really sin means is missing the mark. And when you look at it that way, you realize that God doesn't categorize our mistakes and sins like we do. He just looks at everything that doesn't line up with his son as having missed the mark. And that's the old and the sin nature. Now, the good news is that Jesus Christ, by one sacrifice, has perfected us, those who are being sanctified, as it says in the book of Hebrews. So Jesus, by what he did out of his love for us, made it right. He took the sin nature, the missing the mark that all of us experience as human beings. He nailed it to the cross. And when he was resurrected, we have righteousness because of his righteous act. So the scripture says in Romans chapter 14, you can read this later, verse 23, whatever is not from faith is sin. And really, instead of analyzing what we think is wrong with us and all the time we spend with the introspection and just listening to all the accusing voices about what's wrong with us, we need to realize that from faith is that realm that believes in the provision and what Jesus has won. Whatever is not in that realm of faith in what has been won for us is going to miss the mark. It's going to be the old, the sin. No, the truth is we are new creatures in him. And so in relating to this, we just need to be more aware of the faith. Again, that scripture says, whatever is not from faith is sin. God's calling us to be liberated from just the oppression that comes from our own thinking and how we think about ourselves. And the more we can learn to be aware of that realm of faith that we carry within us, in that realm, when we are there, we are not missing the mark. We're balanced. We have that right balance with him and with his word. So anyway, back to this, the 10, we think of leprosy, we think of the healing that the Lord has brought to all of us. We think about the condition of being a human being and the burden that that is. And these 10 lepers, it says that, well, let's start with verse 11. It came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a certain village. There met him 10 leprous men who stood at a distance. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Okay, here's 10 individuals that are oppressed by this disease, and they recognize that Jesus is coming. They're standing from afar, and they begin to call out to him. He looks at them. He doesn't say, you're healed. He just says, here's what I want you to do. He gives them a word. And while they are following that word, basically in motion, they're healed of their disease. They're not standing still, but they're moving according to the word he spoke. And I think this is a beautiful picture of how God moves in our life. We are all aware of our need, and our soul makes us painfully aware of what's wrong and what we need from God. And often we feel like we're just standing still. We've got to wait till once I change, then I'll get in motion. But really, the way things work in the Spirit is, you may feel or be aware of the leprosy, let's say, or just the thing that needs to be touched by God, that what needs to be healed. But he always sends his word. There's a word of life to you. And as we respond to that word, that call of obedience, not trying to fix ourselves, not sitting back and saying, I can't move, but kind of paralyzed in fear until we see something happen. As we step out in faith, in relating to the word that God has spoken to us, that movement that's in obedience to the word brings about the healing. Those words have more than just a sense of direction to our life. The very words that are living that God speaks to us have within them the power of healing and deliverance. This is how the kingdom of God manifests. A lot of people are saying, well, I'm waiting for that realm of the God's kingdom to be real on this earthly plane. I think we need to be doing more than just waiting. It's one thing to have hope in something that will happen. It's another thing to be in motion saying, I am listening intently to the words that are coming out of the mouth of God in this hour. I'm listening to the voice of the Spirit. And as our life is in motion according to those words, in a sense, that faith that we have, that we follow the word, activates the power of the word. And within every word that God speaks is his full provision for our needs. Healing, deliverance, whatever it is we need, that word has that complete provision. The soul, when it's, again, that the soul that has not experienced that touch of God, that's out of balance with our spirit, will say, first I get the deliverance, then I'll move out. But the way of the Spirit is, I'll move out in faith according to your word. And out of my obedience to your word, out of following your word, that word will become my deliverance. Now, verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, saying thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Were none found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well, or in my margin it says, your faith has saved you. It's interesting that they all received the same blessing and impartation of life from the hand of God through Jesus. Yet only one turned back. And you know, the love of God is such a great reality. It's not that God says, you know, unless you're going to follow me, unless you're going to do this and that, I'm not going to bless you. God looks down on the human condition. And just like Jesus was moved by compassion to heal, that's the way the heart of God is toward humanity. It's always been that way. He doesn't set conditions and saying, I will love and bless you if you do this. He says, I will bless you. Now, what are you going to do with that blessing? 10 received a healing, dramatic healing. Their lives were forever changed. But 9 kept going the same direction. One turned the other way and followed the Lord. Because the Lord blesses us or heals us or delivers us, doesn't mean that our mindset is going to change. And the direction our life takes is basically a product of our thinking, is it not? What we make our decisions, the way we go with life, it depends on our thinking processes. So we can be blessed by God. We can experience tremendous miracles in our life. And we can thank God for them. And those blessings that God brings can bring positive changes. Let me tell you, those other 9 that didn't turn around to follow the Lord, I'm sure had a better quality of life. Can you imagine the change they went through? Not being lepers, not feeling like outcasts. All of a sudden they were like other people. They were healed. It produced a tremendous opportunity for change for all of them. But again, no matter how great the blessing, it doesn't necessarily mean that the thinking is going to change. For the 9, they were walking a certain direction, they got healed, and they kept right on going. And 1, something happened within that person that was different. Not only was that 1 healed, but there was a change of thinking, a change of direction for his life. He turned back to follow Jesus. He came back to the Lord. And it says he was glorifying God. In fact, Jesus comments on it and just says, you know, the only one that turned back was this foreigner. You know, maybe it seems a little bit like a put down. He was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew. But none of that was relevant. Somehow the blessing of God had gone to a greater depth within his life where it was able to bring a deeper change to him. It wasn't, thank you, God, for meeting my need. Now I'll go on back to my business. His agenda, His way of thinking changed very dramatically. Why is that? I don't know. But Jesus looked at him and said, your faith has saved you. Now, wait a minute. Did his faith heal him? No. Their faith didn't heal them. They called out to the Lord. The Lord said, go do this. And they just simply followed directions. And it was the power of Jesus Christ that healed them. But for the one, there was a level of faith he had entered into that caused him to turn back and come back to Jesus. And Jesus looked and said, it's not this faith that has healed you of the leprosy. This faith has brought a salvation, has saved you. It's brought a change to your soul. Your thinking is different. Something's happening deep within you. You're becoming a disciple. And I was thinking about this, you know, the kingdom of God invading the human realm, the earthly plane. The kingdom of God can manifest in great power in this earthly plane. It doesn't mean that our mindset changes or the direction in our life changes. That is a decision that we have to make to say, I want that to change. When we talk about discipleship, would you say that this one that turned back to follow Jesus, and you know, when you really return to the Lord, you glorify God. And isn't that, I think the heart of the Lord was just made glad by this, because that was his real purpose. He healed the sick, he delivered. Why? Because they were manifestations, or they were fruit of the kingdom of God. But he said his real delight was to introduce people to the Father. It's like God was calling out saying, I want my children home. And Jesus came saying, this is what God wants. This is his heart for you. So I think his greatest joy was when, like this one that turned back, when someone would get it and say, it's not about the blessing, it's about finding the love of the blesser, glorifying God. But you notice with Jesus, I know that that was what he was all about, to bring people back to the Father, but he never coerced anyone. Unlike the realm of religion where it's full of coercion and manipulation. You know, you try to get people to be disciples. What do? It's so often from the pulpit you hear the shaming, threaten them with hell. You know, stir them up with fear, get them to God. That's not the way of the Lord. Jesus healed and said, you do whatever you want with this. I love you. I make you well. The decision to follow him is always our own. He doesn't coerce us by his Spirit. He doesn't threaten us. He doesn't say, if you really want to be blessed, you better turn back and follow me. Otherwise, you're going to be punished. I know we've all heard voices like that. We've all thought of discipleship as being, if I really want the blessing of God, I better follow him. No. God gives his gifts and his blessings out of his love. To follow him is something you decide within your own heart, saying, I want to be close to you. Not because I fear punishment if I don't, or I think that I'm going to get less blessings if I don't. I'll tell you something. You look at the disciples in the Word of God. You look at the life of Paul. You look at others that followed the Lord. I wouldn't say that they had the easiest of circumstances, or you could look at their lives and say, well, how were they being blessed? They were persecuted. They were, you know, just look at how Paul describes his apostleship, the way he lived. But the blessing was, and they chose to follow the Lord. It was a passion within them. It wasn't so that they could get more. They had experienced the love of God, and there's something changed within their own will where they said, I'm not here to serve my own interest. I'm not here to have simply God make my life easier or better. What your blessing has meant to me, Lord, is I recognize the great love you have for me, and I want to return that love. And that's what discipleship is all about. It's just coming back to the Father, like this one leper that was healed, coming back to the Lord and returning the love that was given out. Jesus never asked him to come back. That decision came from within that person's own heart, and that's why it was so valid. And read in Hosea 6, come let us return to the Lord. That drive, that pull, returning to the Lord, God never coerces that out of you. That's just something that as he blesses your life, you experience something inside and you choose by your own will to be that disciple, to return to him. And that's where it's valid. John 10:18, Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own initiative." The cross wasn't forced on him. It wasn't God saying, "Do this or else." He chose it. He chose it because of his love for the Father. And that's where it becomes, I think, really valid to us. I think religion, you know, what does it mean to be a Christian? You know, that's what a question to ask in this day and age, because it depends what channel you turn to. You're going to get a different version. But so much of the religious realm built around Jesus is this thing of trying to force people into certain molds and certain ways of thinking. And it makes me sad, because I realize that God wants everyone to know how much he loves. And what means the most to God is when we know that we're free to do whatever we want to do, and we choose him anyway. We say, "Lord, I don't have to follow you. I can experience your love and blessings and do my own thing. But I want," like that one leper experience, he says, "their faith has saved you. I want your salvation to go deep into my own soul. I don't want to have my old mindset. I want the mind of Christ. I want to be a disciple. I want to follow who you really are in truth. Not because I have to, but because your love has touched me in such a way that I want to be close. I want to return that love to you." That's the call, I think, that's going out. And we can only make that decision to be a disciple when we fully recognize that God has set us free, that we have a choice. And then when we choose him, that means a lot to him. Well, I know, I think in all of our heart, we want to be that one that turns back. I think we are. That's why we're here. Many people have been blessed by God and, you know, go on and do whatever they want to do. I think everyone in this room, you look inside and you recognize the quality of discipleship. That God has blessed your life, but also more importantly, you've looked back at him and said, I choose to return to you. I choose to come out of the way my life is headed, whatever direction. This applies to all of us. I don't care how far along we've gone on the spiritual journey. Returning to the Lord is an ongoing experience of being pulled out of our own human mindset, our own ambition, our own ego. We get pulled out and we turn another way to follow who he really is. That's why humility will always be a part of our experience. As long as we're human beings walking with God in the Spirit, there's no way to get away from the humility. Why? Because we're always being humbled from our own thinking, from our own pride, that thing that ego always produces. And in humility, we're able to turn from whatever direction we're headed. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's just our minds being in control, turning from that and returning to the Lord, where that salvation experience can go deeper into our mind and our emotions. Well, Lord, we thank you that we've made that choice to be your disciples, and we just ask, Lord, that you become more and more real to us, that your love become more and more real. And all the coercion that's coming across to people today that's holding them in bondage, we just pray for revelation to come, just to shatter the deception. Let people know that they're free, and they're free to choose you with all their heart. We believe for the ongoing, increasing power of your Spirit and awareness of your presence to take place with your people in this day and age. Amen. Let's stand.